Fresh from the farm to you. Did you know that Elwood Thompson's Natural Market actively seeks out local farmers and gives them a venue to sell their products? Now you can help yourself to fresh tomatoes, melons, and other delights and help sustain organic farming in our community at the same time. Located at the corner of Elwood and Thompson Street since 1989, Elwood Thompson's Natural Market is dangerously close to becoming a Richmond tradition. Their knowledgeable staff, famous delicatessen, and wide range of herbal and other natural products have made Elwood Thompson's a favorite for Richmonders who care about their health and the health of the planet. You can also pick up your WRIR bumper stickers at the register. More information is available at 359-7525 or on the web at elwoodthompsons.com. Your body will thank you. It is 12 o'clock. Look how excited I'm getting. It's 12 o'clock. It's time for Kathy Brown's Brown Bag Lunch Special. Stay tuned at 12:30 for Enlace Informativo. I'm Jeff, 649-9737. You can give us a call at the station. We'll be back in a bit.
All along the waterfall with you.
And it's 12 noon and you're in tune to WRIRLP. This is 97.3 FM. This is Richmond Independent Radio. This is radio for the rest of us. And you are so lucky because you're in tune to Kathy Brown's Brown Bag Lunch Special. And today we have some special guests, Barbara Cornicello. She's the Latin Outreach Coordinator for PEATSE, and we'll tell you what that means in a moment. And we also have Pierre Ames. He is the Strategic Partnerships Coordinator for PEATSE as well. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you having us here
and
today.
And I appreciate you coming out to talk to us today about the programs because my understanding is PEATSE is a Parent Training and Information Center, but can you tell me what the acronym stands for?
Correct. PEATSE stands for, it's P-E-A-T-C. It stands for Parent Educational Advocacy Training Center. Basically, it's building better futures for children with disabilities is our slogan there. It's a parent education support training and information center committed to helping children with disabilities, their families, and professionals who serve them.
So Barbara, as the Latino Outreach Coordinator, first of all, how long have you been in this position?
I started on June the 24th. So I know, and it's passed by. It's been like a whirlwind. I feel like I have been there much longer and all because there's so much to do, and in a short period of time, we've been able to accomplish quite a bit. So I just appreciate PEATSE bringing me on to do this. I think they have they've always had a lot of forethought in the programs that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And Pierre could probably mention, how long has PEATSE been around now for?
PEATSE's been around since 1977.
1977, wow.
And yes, and PEATSE is one of 50 parent training and information centers. There's one in each state. They're federally funded by the U.S. Department of Education. And PEATSE is Virginia's Parent Training and Information Center. And we have two locations, one in Springfield and one in Richmond. And we cover the entire state of Virginia.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, Pierre, what do you do as the strategic partnerships? That's like a tongue twister, I tell you. Strategic partnerships
say
coordinator.
Say
it 10 times, right? What do you do as the SPC?
Well, what I do specifically is look to collaborate with other organizations who have like missions and serve like populations. And those organizations are those that provide services to people with disabilities or children with disabilities. And with those organizations, we collaborate to provide training, information, we share resources at times, and we refer clients between us also. There are times we partner to seek funding or to get the word out with regards to upcoming issues, and those issues are systemic issues, such as barriers or opportunities that may arise within the scope of services that are provided, or within the realm of legal issues or legislative issues.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act or the special education laws are being changed or being updated or renewed, then we would try and get that information out, but we would also make sure that families and people with disabilities or the people who are intended to be served know that there are some upcoming changes and what that those changes will mean to them in terms of services and in terms of application.
Great. That sounds interesting. Now, I just want to let everybody know, all the listeners out there know, that although there is some information regarding education in this program today, the focus today will be on services that are provided by the center, the new Latino outreach coordinator position, and some of the regulations that affect people with disabilities. Hopefully at a later time, John Richmond with Education Today will be able to have you both on and talk to you a little bit about some of the educational programs and some of the standards for learning as
Absolutely.
Well. And that would be great to have him to, you know, have you on his show. So hopefully, John, if you're listening, they'd like to be on your show as well. So Barbara, we were talking a little bit about the Latino Outreach Coordinator, and you kind of swayed a little bit, but I want to kind of get back to that, because I want to get an idea of what, was this position just created, or has this position always been there, and you're now filling a
Right. With PT, they've almost always had someone in the Springfield office in Northern Virginia, but that specialized in intake. So an intake specialist is the person who is there when a parent calls in with questions that they have. They're able to answer their questions about everything from early intervention to... a lot of times it goes beyond the realm, like you say, of education. A lot of times the questions would focus on just wondering whether or not where they could go to see a specialist to find out what was going on with their child in the first place, if they needed any type of special education or what issues were going on. A lot of problems with communications. And so that was more of the focus of a person being available to them in the office to answer the questions and to send them out information, to arm them with information that would help them to go out in the process, the educational process of their child. My position is a new position, and it's funded by the Virginia Department of Education. And this is for very similar in many ways to what Pierre does with strategic partnerships, in that we're here to connect all of the professionals, the educators, find out who is in need of assistance, where the greatest pockets of the Latino population are, and where schools are having problems meeting the needs of those folks. So what I do is to put them together. What we like to say here is that in Richmond we set it up, and in Springfield they knock them down. So in other words, we
so it's
set
like
it
bowling.
Up. Exactly. It's just like bowling. I know you are a fan of bowling. But and it's like that. We work, you know, for so many years, I've worked with the Hispanic community for the last 20 years now. And so what I try to bring to the table is the knowledge of the people and the folks that I think are going to be advantageous in this, that we can seek out to make sure that we're effectively handling the situations of Latino families, so that a lot of times Latino families, what we're finding out is that they don't even know the questions to ask in the first place. They're kind of like silent partners in their children's education. They send them off and they expect that things are just going to be done for them, as opposed to taking an active role. And so we're there to help the educators, to help parents to become more involved, for them to understand what the needs are, what kind of tools, families learn what type of tools they can use to be more effective in advocating for their child's needs.
So along with that comes the training that's offered to families that have children in, I guess, that have disabilities possibly, or?
Right, and when we're talking about disabilities too, I want people to keep in mind that we're not just talking about physical disabilities. We're talking about those that have behavioral aspects. We're talking about learning disabilities as well, so ADHD. All of those types, and I believe on the website that it's listed, the website is www.peatc.org. And it gives a listing of everything that is covered, so that if someone is wondering whether or not their child's disability is something that would be, that they'd be able to receive help through the funding through their school, they'd be able to seek out that information there. I don't know if you have something that you want to add to that.
Is that there are Pierre? The support groups, Pierre? Because I downloaded some things groups from the website.
Yes, we have a listing of support groups throughout the state. And those are support groups specific to disability and issue. And for example, there's support groups with regards to children with epilepsy, or with emotional disabilities, or with very Asperger's syndrome, autism.
Tourette's syndrome.
Yeah, Tourette's. Mm-hmm. And so we try to link parents and families with those support groups so that they can understand the extent of their child's disability from their peers, from other families, how it impacts them, and what resources they may be able to find. But in addition to that, the support groups are there to help them develop coping strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many families are there and they feel isolated and alone. And so, you know, we're a telephone call away, certainly. But on the other hand, if they've got someone who can walk them through the process and let them know that, you know, it's not the end of the world and these are some things you can expect, and also help them with reality checks, too, because some parents are unrealistic or can be in denial about the disability and the extent of it. Well, if they're working with another family who's been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, so to speak, then they can walk them through that and be a resource to them. And that makes a world of difference. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times what you said it makes a lot of sense with parents who have children that have ADHD, you know, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. They want to say, okay, my child is just like the average child running around playing, you know, just a little bit maybe overactive. But in reality, that child may have that syndrome, if that's what they call it, a syndrome. So those are the type of things that you talk about when you talk about denial, people not...
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because oftentimes, you know, families will... they really don't know the things to look for. They really, you know, they'll see their child, and their child's behavior becomes normalized to them or normal to them.
Right, right.
And the difference is, you know, isn't really sighted until they get to school or get into a program with other children, and they see that they're behaving differently or not performing at the same level,
mm-hmm.
and the light bulb goes off, and they go, you know, something's different here. Well, Some will deny that. Others will, and then other things compound that. Other things will be affected, such as, you know, if a youngster, if for example, has a learning disability, and they're not performing well in school. Oftentimes, if nobody recognizes or realizes that youngster has a disability and requires a certain level of programming and services,
mm-hmm.
then that youngster may start acting out in their own frustration, and then they need more services. They need,
right.
It takes them to a whole different level. And,
right.
And which is incidental, something that also, we also deal with at PT2 is, there is a great percentage of children with disabilities in the juvenile justice system and in mm-hmm. corrections. And so we work with families whose children with disabilities end up in juvenile justice also.
How do you work with these families? What do you, okay, I know you have the support groups, but what do you actually do with the family, those families that you mentioned?
I'm glad you asked that. We provide individualized assistance, and for the most part, that's over the telephone. We have an 800 number they can call, and we provide them with information, technical assistance, and we try to, our motto at PT is to try not to just refer them to resources. We try to link them to resources. We try to give them the name of an organization or agency and possibly a lead person there that they can call. And request services, and we try to give them some expectation as to what they'll receive when they do that.
Can you give our listeners that 1-800 number that you mentioned?
Certainly. It's 1-800-869-6782.
And if they hit
Thank
extension
you.
3, that would put them through to me. So extension 3 would be for the Latino Outreach Coordinator.
Okay. Which para la gente que habla en español.
Claro, para extension gente que habla 3. Español. Claro, hablamos español. And, you know, adding to that, you imagine the maze that this is for people who are born and raised here, who understand the language. So you can only imagine the other component of that someone who doesn't have the language skills and doesn't also understand the way the system works here, it's very difficult for someone who is already from the States to be able to manage their child situation and to be able to work with all the different paperwork, all the different things that are involved in this process. So that is the nice thing about what we do is that they can call and speak to someone in their own language who can help them through this whole maze to understand from the very beginning, from early intervention and on, transitioning from, we get a lot of problems. People will come back when they're transitioning from elementary to middle or from middle high school because things change. You get new administrations that you're working with, and so a lot of them feel like they're having to start over again. So we're able to arm them with the kinds of things that they need. And just as is, there is information for persons who, of course, are English speaking, there's also information that we can give to folks who are Spanish speaking, and that's a good portion of what I do, is to make sure that we coordinate all of the people in the different agencies.
And a lot of that is on the website, right?
Exactly. A lot of that, and we're compiling still a lot of that information, too. That's part of the job that I have there, is to compile information so that when someone comes in, I think one of the worst things you could do, someone who's already having a situation, they're already dealing with the health and the education of their child, and to have that compounded by, maybe I always say that sometimes receiving bad information is worse than no information at all. What we try to do is just to lessen that impact, to make the whole process easier for folks so that they don't have to go on a wild goose chase of, I'm going to call this and then I have to call that, and I'm not quite sure if there's anybody who's going to be available who speaks Spanish, or what's their capacity to really speak Spanish, or what materials are offered or available to me in Spanish. Everything that we have at PC is, for the most part, is translated into Spanish, so already have all that information for folks.
Speaking for people who are, for example, service workers, service providers, to be able to contact you and get information for clients they may come into their offices, since you're working together with other agencies to provide services to the community, is a great thing. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break for about a minute or so. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about what the agency does, what the mission is, and get into the meat of everything, because we've got, you know, we've been talking about some of the things, but we've got about 15 more minutes left in the program, and, you know, time flies when you're having fun. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to WRIRLP 97.3 FM. This is the Brown Bag Lunch Special, and we'll be back in a moment.
WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond Indie Radio, radio for the rest of us. Pain is a part of life we must bear, but it is never something one should wear. Kay Bella has been helping Richmonders shop the world for fashionable yet comfortable shoes at 3105 West Cary Street in Carytown for about a year now. At Kay Bella, you will also find unique handbags and accessories to give it that final touch. More information is available at 249-6110 or on the web at kbella.net. Lovely and modern Kay Bella. Shoes, handbags, and accessories, be sweet to your feet. And Brown Bag Lunch Special is partially underwritten by Diversity Thrift. Like finding treasures at thrift stores? Come by Diversity Thrift's new larger location near the Diamond at 1407 Sherwood Avenue and either browse the store or make a donation of clothing, furniture, books, or any other household items. Diversity Thrift is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization returning proceeds from sales to the community through grants, donations, and educational initiatives. You can get more info at 353-8890 or visit them on the web at diversitythrift.org. We now take you back to Kathy Brown and the Brown Bag Lunch Special.
And we're back, and thank you for listening to WRIRLP 97.3 FM. This is Kathy Brown and the Brown Bag Lunch Special. And today we have two wonderful guests with us, Pierre Ames, he's the Strategic Partnerships Coordinator, and Barbara Cornicello, she's the Latino Outreach Coordinator, and they both work for PTC. Now let's get into a little bit, before we do that, we mentioned the website and we didn't give that out, so along with the 1-800 number, which I'll give again, like you to give us the website if you can.
Sure. It's www.ptc. It's PEATC.org.
And you can find information on the services that we're talking about today and more information on what the program does. The 1-800 number to call for families that you mentioned that you work with in the juvenile system?
Is it specific to them? It's the same. It's the same number. It's the 1-800-869-6782.
All right, and that's extension 3 in Spanish, and
that's correct.
I guess just the regular number in English.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about what the mission is. Can you tell me what the mission is for PTC?
Sure. I could probably, you know, mm-hmm. brought a cheat sheet here because I want to make sure that we say this properly here. And this is probably going to help people if we say it this way. The mission at PT is to build better futures for children with disabilities by working collaboratively with families, schools, and professionals who serve them to improve opportunities for excellence in education and success in school and community life.
How will families know if they need information from PTC? How do I know that I need information from your agency? What happens? What occurs in my family?
Usually what occurs is that people will have questions beyond what the normal process is, or they just want to know if they want to be involved in the process with their child. So they want to make sure that they get information. A lot of times they'll hear it from the schools, they'll hear it from friends, they'll hear it from social workers. They can get it from a variety of sources, the ways that they hear about PTC. Hopefully they'll hear about it from me as mm-hmm. well, because that's part of my mission is to get out there and make sure that people know that they have this available to them. And I think that that's, most people want to make sure that they're getting their information from different sources, that they've got all their eggs in the basket, because they know that the schools are, they have a mission to take care of their children and all, but I think the parents beyond that want to know more, the complete information. For example, right now, you know, you might have the federal regulations with the idea that have come down, but from the Virginia Department of Education, it'll be another 18 months before they come up with their revisions on that or their interpretations of that.
Right.
So there are folks that in the meantime, they want to make sure that everything is being done for their child that's necessary. And so we're there to give them all the information in English and Spanish on any of those processes and on anything outside of that too. Like I said, we help them to, we network so that we can make it easier for them when it's beyond just educational schools. We can talk to them about other sources and resources that are out there that can help them, support groups, anything that they're looking for.
And that's part of what Pierre does when you talk about networking and the partnerships. What are some of the partnerships that you have with PTC?
Well, some of the partnerships are, again, with the Department of Correctional Education, State Department of Juvenile Justice, with some of the local parent resource centers, with the State Parent Resource Center Network, with the State Department of Education,
mm-hmm.
With the Virginia Department of Rehabilitative Services, because in fact, a lot of the people we see do return, or that who we talk to do return, and so we keep in mind that IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Improvement Act, serves students or serves children with disabilities birth through 22.
Right,
and
you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that, you know, we're able to provide an array of information and services and resources for that specific population.
And you do that.
And we do that, yes.
Perfect.
Oftentimes also, families of children with disabilities or young adults with disabilities will call us with regards to resources for their adult family member.
Mm-hmm.
We also provide training to families so that they can become effective self-advocates, because one of the things that we promote is that it's almost like the healthy families philosophy. We do for, do with, and then cheer on. We mm-hmm. want to make sure that we don't cultivate a dependency. We want them to, you know, to understand their rights, the school's responsibilities, and their responsibilities in turn. And again, not just with schools, but as responsible family members, as responsible citizens in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And then, last but not least, we look at siblings, because siblings play a crucial role in families of children with disabilities. If you remember the movie Rain Man almost 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Even there they were looking at how oftentimes parents are the initial caretakers, but then those siblings really pull it off, you know, once the parents are aged, unfortunately meet their demise.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're promoting in today's society total integration of individuals with disabilities. And so if we enable the families, then we enable that individual with a disability to better take their place in society as a contributing member. And so, I mean, I think that sort of, you know, that sort of covers PC's whole mission and philosophy. We want to support the family so that they can support the child. But again, we want to make sure that we know that we can't be everything to everybody. And so there are limits to what we can do, too. We don't provide case management services. We don't provide advocacy services. We seek to bring that family to a level where they can not just take care of themselves, but they can take care of others, too. So in addition to that, those trainings and workshops we do to individual families, we provide Train the Trainer series workshops, too, where we train families so that they can train other parents and they can mm-hmm. coach other parents in meetings. And they can learn to be self-sufficient.
And that is actually a great thing, the Train the Trainer. And you mentioned integration of the family, the extended family, into, I guess, some of the workshops that are done with families. To what extent do you involve the siblings in these trainings?
Well, there's a training called Sib Shops.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. it trains those youngsters who are siblings of other youngsters with disabilities to understand how... how their role in the family is impacted by that youngster with a disability, where they fit in, because, you know, they knew in earlier years that that in many instances siblings were sort of put on the side, or they weren't given the attention, and there was resentment. In fact, I'm a sibling.
Right, because they were getting a lot of more attention,
sort of take the attention away, and in my particular family, my brother is born in the middle, and I'm born after him, so I was born into his world. I've got mm-hmm. two sisters who were born before him, so he totally changed their world. And so we try to, we try to help families through that process by offering siblings training. But for the other, on the other part, it offers some respite to parents too, mm-hmm. so that they're not the major caretaker, they're not the major advocate, and really, it deepens the bench. If you look at it from a sports perspective, because again, it gives some relief to that team that's on the floor all the time, mm-hmm. those parents, mm-hmm. and put some of the responsibility and the knowledge and information on the sibling. And again, we found too that they've had sibling, it's the Sibling Information Network out of University of Connecticut years ago. I mean, they really came in and talked about how if you really wanted a reality check on performance, of the person with a disability, parents have their idea and their perspective, but again, it's emotional, sometimes it's even fantasy, whereas a sibling could really tell you what their sibling could do.
Their sibling with
a disability mm-hmm. was able to mm-hmm. do. So
I think the peer brings up a good point too, mm-hmm. in mentioning that he is a family member of someone with a disability.
Right.
Everyone at PT either has a family member, a child, who has a disability. So you're dealing with caring individuals who understand when folks call in what they're going through, because a lot of them have already had this mm-hmm. experience, and that includes myself as well. So when they do call in, they're dealing with individuals who care and who are knowledgeable in the process, because they've been there and they've had those shared experiences.
And that is a key point in providing services, is actually being able to maybe have been there,
qualified to understand.
Step in those shoes. Yes, qualified
Absolutely.
To understand. You mentioned respite care, and I just wanted to focus on that a little bit, because we kind of go through that real quickly when we mention respite care, and sometimes people, our listeners, may not know what you mean by that, but that is sort of a relief for the parents when someone else comes in and takes care of the child.
It gives parents a break. It gives parents a break they need, because again, they need to be renewed, and oftentimes parents will even abuse. You know, there were even issues of abuse and neglect, where parents had reached a point where they were burned out. They needed someone to come in and take care of their child for a weekend or a week. And if they don't have extended family or siblings who are able to do that, then that youngster or that individual with disabilities, depending upon the extent of the disabilities, it can be at risk for abuse or neglect.
Right, and it is a lot of work. And just like yes. normal parents need breaks, I guess I don't know if I should use that word, but just like parents need breaks,
everyone needs
a break.
Absolutely.
And so when you are overworked and dealing with something that's beyond what you can handle than that respite care that PT offers that service? Is it
no, PT doesn't offer that service, but PT will provide families with information on where they might receive
that service. So
referrals
to some of those services.
Yes, and resources there too, because there are funds available for those, you know, there are funds available for all sorts of services, not just respite services. In fact, there is a, there are funds available if a family of children with disabilities wants to attend conferences related to, you know, that disability or getting knowledge and information on it.
That's good to know.
On specific issues, we can provide them with information on agencies and organizations that will fund their voyage or their trip to that conference, registration fees, et cetera.
Wow. So. That's great. And we're going to give out that phone number again because that's really good information to know. And I'm sure our listeners are really, really happy that you provided that information to us. Once again, that number is 1-800-869-6782. And if you have someone, a client who speaks in Spanish, extension 3, Pierre Ames, this is just blah, 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 blah. I told you that was a tongue twister. The Strategic Partnership Coordinator for PTC, and Barbara Cornicello is the Latino Outreach Coordinator for PTC as well. And thank you both for coming out today. We unfortunately are running out of time. You know, we usually when you're, like I said, time flies when you're having fun and you're talking about a very important issue. Hopefully you'll be able to come back and be part of Richmond Education today and talk about the educational component of what PTC does in the school system. That would be great to be
we'd
able to have
to
you
do
back.
That. We'd like to. For people to come out and visit us at the State Fair, most definitely.
Okay. Well, also, you know, before we go, because I know that people are always interested in finding out more about the services, I just kind of wanted to get a feel for what those services are. You have respite care, well, referrals for respite care. Okay, well, I'm being told that my time is up, and I must wrap
we'll
it up.
We'll come back. We'll just come back. That's all there is to
okay.
it.
Okay, thank you, everybody. I thought he was giving me the sign for, hey, keep going, but it was actually stop.
Cut it out.
So thank you for listening to the Brown Bag Lunch Special here on WRIRLP. See you next week.
WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond Indy Radio, radio for the rest of us. It's 1230. That means it's time for Enlace Informativo with your host today, Tanya Gonzalez.